is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I got to try to be a good boy this morning, because if I really went down the path that I wanted to go down right now, I got to do some book work here before we get rolling here. So bear with me. Boy, I had one of those, slept like a rock last night, up early again this morning. Lord, something's happening here. Something's going on. And I just want to touch bases with you here, Jared. Spencer, I'm sorry. Pull up the events page, because I got a couple things I want to make sure that we cover, okay? And then we're going to dive into it. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. I just said to Michelle as I came down, I got to hold this back. As I came down the steps, when was the last time that you personally rejoiced in the Lord? We live in such a world of negative information, negative vibes coming at us. When was the last time that you just sat around and looked at your life and said, man, oh man, oh man, I have got so much to be grateful for and thankful for? Bible says even thank God for all the problems and trials that you have, for they develop patience. Patience develops character, and character develops hope, and hope doesn't disappoint. And if your Heavenly Father loves you, He's not going to take you through something that He's not going to be there with you, and He's not going to take you through something that's not going to strengthen you in the end. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Whatever's going on, it's good, man. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. Every good and perfect gift. And I look around at some of the things that people are walking through, some of the things they're dealing with, some of the things that are happening in the country. And I sit around and say, Lord, my goodness, my feet are dry. My toenails work. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you, Lord. And who am I to think that there wouldn't be something, some fiery trial that would come into my life? What would exempt me from having some type of fiery trial? And Lord, I thank you that if there's a fiery trial that comes into my life, then I pass it. But folks, listen, I won't give in, I won't live into fear porn and negativity, and I reject that spirit in Jesus' name. I'm going over, I'm not going under. We're going through. We're going through this mess, man. And there's victory on the other side of it. I got to stop or I won't get off this rant. There's some things I want to make sure I point out here real quickly before we get rolling. Number one, how about this one? Saturday the 14th, our first ever Michigan Salt and Light Huddle. He said, what? Yes. Yes. There's a first ever one, and it's being held Saturday, August 14th, 8 a.m. at Louie's Family Restaurant. And is it Capic? I've never heard of that town. Michigan. Say, where is that? I don't know. But if you guys live in Michigan, you know where it is. And God bless them. They're trying to get together and get organized, and we're excited to expand. And you guys get that up and running, and we're going to come up there, and we're going to do an event, and we're going to raise up the Salt and Light Brigade in Capic, Michigan. Even though I don't give a damn for the whole state of Michigan, the whole state of Michigan, whole state of Michigan. We don't give a damn for the whole state of Michigan. We're from Ohio. We're from Ohio. O-H. We're from Ohio. I-O. We don't give a damn for the whole state of Michigan, because we're from Ohio. But I'll go up there. I'll go up there. Wolverines will be worth it. God bless you. Eastern Ohio Salt Light Brigade, Betty Perkins, up and running St. Clairsville this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Get down there. Food, fellowship, fun, everything.
Testimonies.
What's that? Testimonies.
Yep.
Testimonies. Get over there and help Betty out. Ohio Brett is doing his Patriot Jam. Click on that thing. Brett, I'm sorry. We don't even have this on our schedule. I'm sorry about that, man. There it is. First annual Patriot Jam concert series is in South Bloomfield, just south of Columbus, between Columbus and Circleville. It's going to run from 3:08 p.m. to 9 p.m. Brett's going to let me say something at the stage about 5:15. Come and bring your tomatoes. Come and fellowship, eat some food, have some fun. Let's wake up America. We're getting ready to win. Let's build us a team. Let's get practicing the victory dances and victories and spiking the football in the end zone. Let's get ready. We're going over. We're not going under. We're going over. We're not going under here. Cool. What else am I forgetting? The Kindred of the Kingdom Conference. Clay sent an email out there. They want to know about COVID. Hey, Clay, I'm not going to punch you in the nose. I've never seen more stupid than that. The three questions that they ask. Really, really stupid. But I guess it's what they have to do for insurance purposes. Come to the Kingdom of the Conference. Kindred of the Kingdom of Conference. Clay, do you want to say something? I heard something kick on. No, you don't want to. It's okay. Bards Fest. Man, Liberty Mel is trying to see if anybody wants to carpool out there to Bards Fest. That's going to be the 26th. That's next week. Man, I'm done flying, but boy, I'd like to fly.
Bards Fest is in 2 weeks.
Thank you, dear. 2 weeks, 26. Thank you, Betty. It's August 12th already. Is that amazing? It's unbelievable. All right, I got that out of the way. Hey, we're expanding, man. We're doing some good stuff. We're expanding. Don't forget, tomorrow is communion based on Matthew 26:26. Matthew, pull that up here if you could real quickly, Spencer. Matthew 26:26. We're going to read Matthew 26:26 and do it for 26 days. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Now, Jeff and Pastor Todd are going to do a little bit of teaching on this tomorrow, and then we're going to launch this thing on Friday the 13th. Another one of Satan's high holidays. We are on the offensive. Good things are happening. We're about to win. We're going over. We're not going under. 26. I'm doing good. I'm staying on my count. The Gospel Gunslinger. I got a call from Sam yesterday, Pastor Sam down there. I didn't want to say hiding down there in Mexico somewhere. After he watched the show, he called me right away because we were talking about Jack. What was going on with Jack and the fact that the police came because he's a sovereign citizen, yada, yada, yada. And Pastor Sam said, "Oh, coach, this is deeper than that. Sam, the floor is yours, brother. Come on in. Fill us in here, buddy."
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Who remembers from the 1980s the Chicago Bears Super Bowl shuffle team? Yeah. And the famous lineman, William the Refrigerator Perry, the number 72, the fridge. Who remembers the fridge?
Yes, sir. Spiking the football and dancing in the end zone. Who can forget that, huh?
You know, the other teams were just terrified when he would take the field because he was like the crusher. He was bigger and stronger than any player of his day. But this is not what happened yesterday with Jack. You see, there's something in the Bible about Amalek, who came and smote the hindermost. And this is something that comes up again and again in the Bible. And this is the mindset of the predator, is to find the weak link to come on, an old timer driving around in his old pickup truck that the police know he doesn't have a license. I want to talk a little bit about how we react to things like this and how we use prophecy against our enemies. And I don't want anybody to be confused.
Because, Sam, this wasn't just random, was it, brother? This wasn't just random.
No, they cooked this up in the command meeting. They had unmarked cars on the street. They were on the radio talking about it. Before they got on the radio and talked about it, there was a decision made. We are going to eradicate people like this Jack. This guy running around with his pistol that thinks that he's an American. We're going to get rid of that at this juncture. And I just want to share a little bit from the Bible about how we deal with this and how we, okay, it's great to bring pressure to bear. It's great to get some people out and hold some signs. And I've done all that. But the whole idea of the Gospel Gunslingers is we step into the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God and the pulling down of strongholds. And I just want to talk about that a tiny bit from the Bible today. You know, in the book of Acts, there's a guy named Gamaliel. And Gamaliel was the guy, he was a Pharisee, and he's the guy that Paul, when he was a young whippersnapper, sat at Gamaliel's feet, Acts 22 says. So this guy was, he was one of the Pharisees, but he was a person who actually feared God. And so then the apostles cause an uproar, right, in Acts 5, and they get arrested. And that's when Gamaliel, everybody's talking about what they're going to do with these troublemakers that have come into their town to cause chaos. Gamaliel, though, he fears God. And he speaks, and this is Acts 5:35. He says, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men." And then he tells a couple stories about some prior uproars.
But you better, they came to he's nothing. Telling them, he's telling them they better be careful. Is that what you're saying, Sam?
Oh, yeah. And then in verse 39, he makes it double clear. He says, "But if it be of God, if these are God's people," he says, "you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." Mm-hmm. So there's members in the body. And guess what? The wicked aren't going after the refrigerator, okay? That's why quarterbacks get hurt. A lot of times, it's the smallest guy on the field. And so they come like Amalek did, and they smite the hindermost. They're like a predator looking for somebody with a limp. They're out there on the mountaintop, and they're looking for somebody that they can snap out of our army. But here's the problem. 1 Corinthians says, this is 1 Corinthians 14:22, "Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." And this is where the body of Christ has to stand together. And we have to pray, and we have to believe God. And when I talk about using prophecy, I just want to make it clear that we're talking about people that God comes and fights for them. So a few years ago, I was praying over the city of Tulsa and Broken Arrow, a place that the Lord assigned me to for 18 years. And I was looking out at the city lights, and I had my little motorcycle, my little off-road motorcycle. And the Spirit of the Lord says, "What do you think, Sam, that light is way out there?" And I look out, and we're talking 5,000 yards out. And I said, "That light really looks out of place." And the Spirit of the Lord says, "That is the Tulsa City County Sheriff's Office $10 million warbird hovering, watching your motor glow on the infrared." And if you've ever seen the videos of Iraq where they got the Apache gunship and everything's in the night and it's all green because they're using their night vision on the FLIR, forward-looking infrared. And then they'll open up with the guns, you know, ha, 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 ha. The guys can't even see them. And a lot of those people were bad guys. But here we are in the US of A, and they're doing it to me. And the guy just had his one navigation light on, and the Spirit of the Lord told me what that was. And I'm just praying over the city, you know, 8, 9 o'clock. But here I was, just like Jack, with my tags expired. And this is the power that they brought to bear against me to cause trouble. We can't have a guy up on the edge of the woods watching over the city praying. And the Spirit of the Lord said, "The minute you hit your Kickstarter and your headlight comes on, that guy's going to come like a shark and be on top of you." And I said, "Well, Lord, I'm totally outclassed here. I'm totally outgunned." Just began to pray. And I hit the Kickstarter, and the moment my light came on, boom, he came for me. And so I was going across town. It's just a little motorcycle, right? Doesn't go very fast. And here the helicopter swoops in behind me, comes down. And I said, first thing I said was, I'm praying in other tongues. And I said, "Father, okay, here I am. I got to get across the city line where I don't get in the Broken Arrow Police Department, where I get arrested by the Tulsa Police Department, where they don't know me and hate me quite as much as in Broken Arrow. All right, Jack, this is you. Everybody out there, this is you." So I'm praying. And I'm going from, so this is maybe, I started at maybe 145th East Avenue. The next mile is 129th. The next mile is Garnett. And that's the line where you cross over to the other jurisdiction. But see, the helicopter is the sheriff's department, so they could bust you anywhere. They could bring in units. And he's on the radio, and I mean, it's obvious now that he's coming for me. Nobody's out on the road. It's 8, 9 o'clock in the evening, and I'm just praying. I'm just praying. And come on, what do you do? What do you do? This is how Jack felt when all those other cars come in. Ha-ha, we got an unmarked car. We got another unmarked car. Got all these guys on the radio. You got your gun, but we got all of these guys with guns from different angles. Now, what are you going to do? I just prayed. Well, here's what happened. When I crossed Garnett, maybe 8 miles to the north is the airport, and just the wind, the way the wind happened to be going right then, the air traffic controller got on the radio and scolded that officer like he was a little girl. Said, hey, what are you doing in my glide path? I got heavy jets taking off. So I'm watching in my mirrors and the helicopter's got his lights on now and he's coming. You know, he didn't have the searchlight on, but all his nav lights were on. And I mean, he was coming for me. And he's boom, pulls back. And I said, thank you, Jesus. What do I do now? And the Spirit of the Lord said, told me what happened, that was the glide path. And then within a minute, here comes a heavy jet, you know, a 737 passenger liner that was taken off, so they had to clear the glide path. And I said, Lord, what do I do now? What do I do? And the Spirit of the Lord says, get up one more mile, take a left and take a right, and duck into a parking lot and park right across the front of the engine of a pickup truck to conceal your heat signature and go sit someplace, because eventually they'll run out of fuel and they got stuff to do with their $10 million Warbird. You know, that infrared that they carry on these, they cannot fly it across the Canadian border or the Mexican border because it's considered a munition. Even the guys that have them for search and rescue, it cannot leave the United States. It is a weapon of war that's highly regulated, that kind of high-grade infrared. So I did that. I went left and went right, and I ducked into a parking lot, parked right across with my little motorcycle, right across the front of a vehicle. So when he comes in with his sensors, all it looks like is just hot cars that have been parked. And I'm just out walking someplace, right? So maybe 3 minutes went by while this jet took off. And then here he comes. Here he comes. And he's got his sensors on and he's looking around. He's hovering this way. He's trying to get all the angles. Yeah, well, there's nothing he could do. And they were going to impound my tags were expired. They were going to impound my rig. They were going to take me to jail. They were going to run me through all the BS. And what was I doing? Just praying over the city. So I want everybody to understand that this is what we are about. We are about going to war in the heavenlies. Let me tell you something. Somebody like Jack gets pushed around by a bunch of tough guys. God can raise up trouble against that department and against those troublemakers so fast that it will make everybody's head spin. And what do we do? We're not like Amalek that comes after the weak link that's up like the predators looking for the weak link. We intend to turn it around when they cause trouble and sink the Bismarck. We intend to take William the Refrigerator Perry and put him in the hurt locker.
Amen.
And take him right off of the roster. And this is what the Bible is full of. And this is what I do, is just teach a little bit day by day on the victories of the Bible and how the saints that went before us came and held up Moses' hands. You know, Moses took the rod of God that was turned into a serpent. And he said, I'm going to stand up on the hill with the rod of God and hold it up. And this was Amalek who smote the hindermost. You know, this is in Deuteronomy 25, and then it comes up again with Saul. Saul committed a great sin, and I think a lot of times the preachers miss it. The Lord sent Saul to war to kill Agag, and Agag was an Amalekite. This is the nation that in Deuteronomy 25, the Lord says there will be war between Israel and Amalek forever. Blot out his name from under heaven. And then Saul thought, just like all the preachers today, so much of Christianity today, Saul thought he was going to do the better thing and he was going to turn the other cheek. He was going to exercise grace. And when Samuel shows up, he says, what is this bleating of sheep in my ears? Okay, so he did fly upon the spoil, which he was supposed to utterly destroy. But then the Lord says, or Samuel the prophet says, this is a man who I was determined would die. And then one of my favorite verses, and Samuel hewed Agag into pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Wow. So sometimes the Lord needs a leader to stand up and speak against certain troublemakers by name.
Amen. You mean like Sam? Then, you mean like going and visiting Hillary and going and visiting Biden and going and visiting Bill Barr and going to Georgia Guidestones, going to the Serpent? Is that what you're talking about? Is that what you're talking about, Sam? That God's going to honor and protect the prophetic.
That's what I'm talking about. And going down, and I'll tell you what: when the little old ladies and when the little children and when the feeble old people come and bend their knee in a place, and the Lord hears them and starts to rip those strongholds out of our nation. This is what I mean. You know, when we talk about the prophet and the apostle, that's a touchy subject that people don't like. But all I'm really saying is let's pray and see what God does. I don't know if any individual people out there, what you think of the Westboro Baptist Church and these people. But one thing I'll tell you about them, well, two things. One, I've studied their movement. And they are well within the realm of orthodoxy.
Folks, that's really that's Fred Phelps and the God Hates Fags crew. Go ahead, Sam.
Now, right. That's the group. That's the group, Westboro Baptist Church. And really, guys like you and me, Coach, we're more holy rollers. You know, we're a little off into the fringe from historic orthodoxy, but they are very orthodox. And here's another thing. Because people bring this up to me, and they say, Sam, what about these guys? We're really mad about these guys. And I caution them, and I say, well, okay. One thing you need to know is that God answers by fire. God answers by fire. And they were just in the news because there's this band called the Foo Fighters. They protest the Foo Fighters, and then the Foo Fighters come out, and that lead singer of the Foo Fighters comes out and makes fun of them and tells them what about love and this and that. So this has just hit the news this week. Well, I want to tell you something. Blake Shelton and Miranda Lambert were on the top of their game as this A-list celebrity couple that was in all the tabloids. Everybody was talking about them. And you know who came out and protested them? Westboro Baptist. And Blake Shelton, he was the first one who actually went down to the line, went down to the picket line where they were holding all their signs about, look, Blake, you're an adulterer and God's mad at you. You can research it. So this is maybe 2013, I don't know. But he was at the top of his game. And his wife, they were at the top of their game. And Blake Shelton came down and it was on the news. And they said, Blake, what did you come down here for? And Blake, you know, with his aw shucks country manner, said, I just wanted to see what hate looks like. I lived in Oklahoma for 20 years, so I can't speak to it. I just want to see what hate looks like, because they were accusing him of breaking up with his wife to Miranda Lambert. Okay, everybody made fun of the Westboro Baptist people in the news. You know what happened? Within 1-2 years, their marriage was on the rocks. Boom, broke it up. Miranda Lambert wouldn't drink with him anymore. She got up in the morning early, wouldn't drink whiskey with him, did her cardio in the morning, lost 50 pounds. And the two of them, guess what? There was no future for them. And then their celebrity breakup was all the news and all the tabloids. And you need to be careful when people like that come to your town. Anybody, a human, a Christian, needs to be careful when people that you know God hears come to the town. You know, that would have been the opportunity for the city to repent. It would have been the opportunity for that person to repent. Yet that hasn't happened. And so this is where we come in and use God's secret wisdom. And listen, thank God that Christians have been very patient for a lot of years. But the Bible tells about God's secret wisdom in 1 Corinthians 2. And as you read down that passage, it talks about how the Lord has ordained for our glory in these last days certain secret things that were not known from the foundation of the world. And yes, when we get in and pray, when we get in and come against, that's 1 Corinthians 2, 5 to 10 in the King James. Spencer, I see you're pulling it up. This is the secret wisdom. And the princes of this world, it says they come to naught. This is talking about the power of the ungodly. It comes to naught.
Amen.
It comes
Amen.
To naught.
So, Sam, I'm reminded real quickly, brother, of the fivefold ministry gifts. We know what it is, right? The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. We all know that, right? Somebody taught me that, folks. Don't miss what Sam's teaching us, right? Don't miss this. Somebody taught me that the way you identify the fivefold mystery gift is the apostle. The apostle's the thumb. And the job of the apostle is really, he can get, if you look at your hand, you do that. Put your hand up. Everybody put your hand up. And you think about the fivefold ministry, and I want you to look at the thumb. The thumb has the ability to control every one of them. Do that. Your thumb can go on top of every one of those fingers, right? The apostle, the one who goes in the name of the Lord and sets up. And then the next one is the prophet. And what is the prophet? Everybody do this. It's the finger pointer. Thus saith the Lord. You are the man. You are the man. And I want you to look. Who has authority over that finger pointer? Well, the apostle does, but not a whole lot of it going on there, right? And so when the Lord sends out his apostle, his guy who says, thus saith the Lord, you are in trouble. You better repent. Folks, you better understand, you do not mess with that guy. Are you agreeing with that, Sam? You do not mess with that guy. Because why? Because he speaks for the Lord. Now we have the evangelist, one that goes and ministers. And then we have the pastor teacher, which is kind of the same gift. But we have taken this guy, the finger pointer, and we told him he's hateful and unloving. We don't like the way he does it, when his job is to go point out, thus saith the Lord. Go ahead, Sam.
All right, let me speak to that, because you are that guy, Coach. And really, I like words like coach a lot better, because it doesn't push people's buttons. And listen, when I'm out in the barrio, there's a lot of people that do not know what kind of animal they're dealing with. But they know one thing. They know that is the sensei. They know that. And they know that if there's trouble, I can bring more hurt to bear than any of them could even imagine as lifelong ruffians. They know that. And so we've kind of gotten away. We're trying to redefine now with our modern language. And then there's a lot of people that are undercover, and they go by names like coach. Hey, I'm a guy, I'm a regular guy, but I know a few things from way back. And yes, absolutely, those anointings are in the earth right now. And listen, guys, I'm in Mexico because I have done this and crushed the powers that have come against me and come against the weak so many times that everybody knows it now. When I came to see you in Tennessee, Dave,
yep.
The drones were following me. How's a drone follow you 80 miles an hour on the highway? It's very sophisticated. This is military technology. And they're trying to figure out, because they think, you know, they think that we have some kind of telepathic power. No, the angels of God are real. The armies of heaven are real. And I'm not going to talk a whole lot about that today, because this is what I teach on every day, is what the armies of heaven look like, what it looks like when they come to bear.
Jesus sat up on the hill above Jerusalem, and he said, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I'd love to have gathered you like a hen gathers her chicks, but what, Sam? You have killed my prophets, right?"
He said, "You would not.
You would not.
You
wouldn't let me do it, right?" Said you wouldn't do it. And
that's right.
Because I sent the prophets to tell you, thus saith the Lord, and you still wouldn't listen. Right? You still wouldn't listen. You killed the prophets. And brother,
the police officer in Omaha, Nebraska, in Council Bluffs, Iowa, said to me, and he shook his head and he said, "Sam, I've had 5 hail claims in 8 years. And I thought to myself, well, that's just pretty obvious. And you haven't figured this out yet, that you and your city are fighting against God.
Amen.
And then another officer on the other side of the river wanted to ask me about Westboro Baptist Church and how proud they were that they drove them out listen, I ride, I love bikers, okay? But they got all the Harley Davidsons and backed them up against their picket line. They had huge 2x4s with bed sheets on them to make a shield, and they backed up their Harleys, and they drove those prophets out of town, and they were so happy about it. And then the cop asked me. He asked me about this. And I said, well, you know, how many hail claims have you had in how many years? And we talked about the judgment of God on their city. And this was before a whole bunch of other things happened. The river flood that destroyed the airbase there, which, by the way, that airbase off it on the Missouri River on the Nebraska side is one of the most notorious underground facilities in the nation, where Johnny Gosch was allegedly taken when he was kidnapped in 1982. You know what? The Missouri River came right up, boom, went underneath of the berm and blew water out the manhole covers of that airbase, Offutt airbase, and destroyed their underground facilities. The year
hey,
before,
Sam,
the same thing happened at China Lake.
Sam, that's going to happen in Washington, D.C. Folks, I'm telling
yes,
you.
Is.
We're going to see it happen in Washington, D.C. This is not a thus saith the Lord thing, but the Lord's had it. The Lord's had it with that place that tries to hide behind the moniker "In God We Trust," right? And
They got a new species of locust mites that are terrorizing the city right now. Spencer can probably pull it up. There's a mite that attacks locusts, and because the locusts hatched this year, everybody's got scabs and itches. Listen, the Bible tells you that the botch of Egypt will get on those that defy God. And all Amen. These huge government bureaus that are hiding behind their huge marble
They're coming
stones,
down, Sam. They're coming down, brother. They're coming
it's
down.
It's happening this year. It's happening right now. And everybody's, the scientists are saying, well, you know, the winter's going to come on, and then next year it won't happen because there's no locust hatch. Right now, every person that lives inside of the Beltway is scratching itches, and they got little flea bites all over their body from something that I never heard of before. Okay, so just repent, guys. Just repent. And can I tell one more testimony, Dave?
Sure.
All right, and Spencer will have the articles for this. So I popped into the USA just for the last time, and I was going to check in on a few tent meetings, but here's the thing. The troublemakers were coming after me in court. They were coming after me because I have blown, I have blown sky high a pedophile ring, and it had already been in the news in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I don't know if you know about it. It's called Brett Blommie, B-L-O-M-M-E. We talked about that when you let me speak before, Dave, how this guy is a child judge in Milwaukee, and they found him with kiddie porn, and the law went in and searched his chambers in the courtroom, found the kiddie porn, and took him away to jail. And he's tied into the whole community, Marquette Jesuit University there in Milwaukee.
Oh, boy. He's,
Tom Jarrett, I believe, is the longtime Democratic mayor of Milwaukee. He personally discipled this guy for 20 years, Brett Blommie. And finally, when that hit the news, then I started to take some physical steps beyond just praying, okay? So in the first days of June, this courtroom in Milwaukee decided they were going to come and get Jack. They were going to come and get me. This is their decision they made. And they started court proceedings, and I'm talking – the knocks on my door, my house that my great grandfather built in Iowa, the law was coming, looking for me and looking for my guns. Guess what happened? Two completely unrelated things. So we're talking about two cities. My hometown of Davenport, Iowa, where my family's lived for generations, where I went to school, elementary, middle school, high school, graduated from Davenport Central, right across Main Street from Palmer College of Chiropractic, famous in the world. And then in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where these judges decided that they were going to cause trouble along with their pedophile ring, and they were going to come for my guns. Okay, guess what happened? And Spencer, if you could put this up, that'd be great. Two horrific riots happened. The one in Davenport was the very next weekend. and they found more than 80 shell casings, just where a bunch of troublemakers were out having a little party, and they all pulled their guns out and started shooting. Nobody was hurt or killed, but it shot up landmarks in the city. It shot the land. There's a sky bridge that goes to the casino riverboat. There's a museum there called Figge. All the windows were shot up and blown out. And more. When you look at the picture in the newspaper where they've got the little table tents over the shell casings, the whole parking lot is littered with more than 80 shell casings. Why did that happen, Coach? help them out. Because they came to bother me. You know, they could have been hunting criminals. It's not what they did. The legal structures decided they were going to find the hindermost of. They're like, this is just one guy. We're going to go push him around just like Jack. And I mean, trouble rose up against that city and the authorities and the landmarks. And yes, the police. And you know what? The same thing happened in Milwaukee. Oh, no. The famous downtown bar district, the hooligans came and just decided they were going to have a big block party in the street, not even patronize those restaurants. They just had a big party in the street, and so much gunfire erupted. Still to this day, nobody knows what happened there. And I sent you those articles, Spencer, if you want to just throw up any background video. Two horrific riots in both of those cities with so many shots fired. I don't know these people. I don't know who did it. But one thing I will tell you is that when Amalek comes to smite the hindmost, that's when we, the people of God, go after the refrigerator. We're going to take him off the line. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God. And we are going to sink the Bismarck. And we're going to bring so much power to bear in the heavenlies. God can bring the botch of Egypt. He can bring tornadoes and firenados. And it's happened so many times, Dave, that I can't hide it anymore. And we need a new generation.
Okay, Sam. So let me jump in here real quick, because a lot of this is real good. This is really good, folks. I don't know if you're picking up on it or not. A lot of people question what we do here at Coach Dave Live because they don't understand the prophetic. They don't understand the prophetic. We are the ones, folks, just go back and just run through your Rolodex and think of the places we've been, the things we've confronted, the places we've prayed, the high places we've torn down. And then as we've done this, this is why I continue to say to you, we are getting ready to win. We are the prophetic SWAT team. We show up. We set off a few landmines, and the places where we go will never be the same. They've been weakened beyond what we can even understand. And while we're doing this, the religious world ain't got any idea what's going on. They're criticizing us. They're saying, oh, that guy's crazy. Stay away from that guy. He's just going to get you in trouble. And maybe we will get in trouble. But if we get in trouble, it's going to be trouble that's going to be ordained by the Lord. And it's going to be trouble that he's going to bail us out of. Somebody has to be the first SWAT team members on the beach. That's what we do
I sent those links to the coach's email. You know who else was an Agagite? It's so the coach at Pass the Salt, Spencer, is where I sent that just minutes before the show came in. Haman in the book of Esther was an Agagite. Esther 3:1 says, Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite. And what did he decide he was going to do? He found a few people that were the Lord's people, and they were just the last ones in the kingdom. And he says, oh, I'm going to pick on these people. I'm going to take them down. There's a guy and he sits at the gate and he won't bow. And he's part of this other nation and they don't respect our laws. This is all what Haman said. But there's a heritage in the Bible of these troublemakers. And what did the Lord do to Haman? He and his 10 sons were hanged on that huge gallows that he had built for Mordecai. This was a very dark time for the Lord's people. There was a heathen kingdom that just ruled the world, 127 provinces. And then right at the right hand of it, who was there? The Agagite, the same ones who came when in the escape from Egypt. Can we play that video and just see all the gunshots and all the police forces out in the street?
This is in Milwaukee.
Boom, 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 boom. Some of that's fireworks. A lot of it is gunfire. I didn't cause trouble in that city either, Dave. I just want to visit my parishioner. Shouldn't be a big thing. But they wanted to start trouble. And this is what happens. So when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, when you see, and it doesn't matter if it's the street gang, it doesn't matter if it's a pack of wolves or lions, it doesn't matter if it's the $10 million police helicopter that's coming for you. You just pray and see what God does. But here's the thing. We got to live this upright life. We have got to be the people of God. And then God will, he will up the ante so fast, it will make these people's heads spin. Spencer, can we play that other one? I want to see all the casings in the street above the, it's the WQAD article, I believe. I want to see all the casings in the street. Okay, so this is surveillance footage. And there's kind of a whole party on this rooftop parking garage. Yeah, go ahead and just let it play. It's just a couple minutes. All right, so you kind of have to look past that sky bridge. And all those, okay, the view, that, look at that. Every one of those is a shell casing. And then here's all the windows blown out on the sky bridge. And then here's the windows in the Figge Art Museum, a landmark in the downtown right on the Mississippi River. And all those windows are shot up. And nobody knows who did it. Nobody will testify about it. There's whole task forces going in. And you know what? I reached out to my elected officials and said, hey, I'm just a poor preacher. And why are these people bullying me? Why do they want to come get me? Because I went and visited my parishioner. All right. Yeah, we suspect this is a trafficking case. Here's Brett Blomey, the child protection judge that's in chains right now because he is part of a pedophile ring. Now, they're coming for me. They're coming across the Mississippi River. I called Joni Ernst. I called Marionette Miller Meeks. I called my governor. And they said, well, Sam, we don't know what we're going to do about this. You know, we can't really intervene in a case. All right. Well, you start rebuking your jackboots or God is going to deal with them. And so here's the civic leaders. Nobody knows really what to do. They're like, do you know where your children are? Our society still. Here's the thing. God can bring up trouble against those who trouble us. And they should not have been knocking on my door of the house that my great-grandfather built. You, all hell wouldn't break loose in their city.
Amen. Jack, come on in. I see you're trying to get in. Roger, you're trying to get in there. Go ahead.
I was just going to make a comment on the gallows that Sam was just talking about. If I understand correctly, the gallows that Haman had built weren't what we think of as a gallows with a trap door and a piece of rope. It was a 50-plus foot spike in the ground. And when they hung them on it, they threw them off the cliff onto that spike where they slid down and they stacked them up like hot dogs on a stick. And they would hang on that stick sometimes for days without dying.
Oh. The Bible calls it a gallows, and it certainly was huge. It was 50 cubits high. He built this enormous monstrosity in his front yard just to get and make a public example out of the one guy that would not bow when he went through with his royal robes and his royal chariot, his official vehicle, when he came through with his official vehicle, and that one guy, Mordecai, did not bow. He decided he was going to build this huge monstrosity. And we do know that he was hanged on it and his 10 sons were hanged on it. So it was an execution device and they all did die and they all did hang out there quite literally for a while. God turned it around and all it takes is some simple people. You know, we used to in Sunday school and you thank God for this group. You all remember this, that we used to teach the miracles of the Bible, of Jonah and the whale and the parting of the Red Sea. And Elijah and Elisha and the bears coming out of the woods and Maul and the 42 youths for making fun of them and about Esther and Mordecai. And yes, Jack, you're that guy that just will not bow, just wants to take a stand for God, and everybody in town knows it. And they, okay, so the troublemakers are going to come. And what happens then? It's very easy to pray very, very simple prayers and to ask God to intervene. And he will humiliate their warbirds and their toys and their infrared and all that they've built to come get us. That's what time it is. And that's also why I'm in another country. It's happened so many times.
So, Sam, you're saying, and I know you're saying, trying to wrap this together for our crew here, that those of us who are walking in what... See, listen, friends, when people talk about the prophetic... We have turned the prophetic into fortune telling, right? Oh, I see this in your future. Oh, I see you're gonna have many employees. Oh, I see that the Lord's gonna. Folks, that's not what we're talking about here. The prophetic is speaking the oracles of God for God. The prophetic unction is for a guy like Sam, gunslinger Sam, to show up and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Judgment is coming. That is, folks, that's the prophetic unction. And by the way, that was the prophetic. Remember this. Bible tells us that all of those born unto a woman, none was greater than John the Baptist. Now, I want you to just sit down there for a minute, and I want that to sink in on you, right? None greater than John the Baptist. What did he build a big ministry? Did he have a big healing ministry? Did he go around with a big prophetic ministry? Well, he did go around with a big prophetic ministry, didn't he? And he went to the king and he says, "You are the man." He went to the king and said, "Your wife's a slut. Your wife's a slut." He went to the king and said that. And what happened to him? He got thrown in jail. And when he got thrown in jail, he's sitting in jail. What's he say? "Lord, does Jesus know I'm in here? But does Jesus know I'm in here?" And what did Jesus go visit him? Say, "Oh, I'm so sorry for you. Let me rub your back." No, he said, no. "Hey, you just go tell him the blind see, the lame walk. You just tell him he's part of this whole thing that's going on. Thank you for doing it. Thank you for doing it, John. Sorry you lost your head, but baby, you are the greatest ever born under a woman, and you are going to have a place beyond this world, beyond what you can even imagine." That is the unction on the prophetic, because the prophetic walks in danger. Amen or not? Amen.
On that. When I called you yesterday, I said, "These are the days of Elijah. This is the return of the spirit of Elijah." And one thing that Elijah did, which is heavily criticized, that's why I teach on this subject every day, Coach. Elijah called down fire from heaven against two captains in their 50s until the third official came up on his knee and said, "Man of God, please have respect for my life and the lives of these 50s. The Bible says that in the last days, this is the last of Malachi, it says the spirit of Elijah will come again. And it's happening. It's happening everywhere you look. And it doesn't take these super tough guys. Just, I want to remind everybody that what Amalek does is he smites the hindmost. He's looking to hurt the quarterback. He's looking for somebody who's already got a limp, who's already on the edge of the herd, somebody that everybody else doesn't really like, and he could just pick that one off. And that's when, not the super apostles, but the very simple people, old people, young people, ladies, they just pray and they say, "Look, the blood of Jesus is against you." Now, on that note, it's real easy to shake the dust off your feet in somebody's face. Nobody can arrest you technically for shaking the dust of your feet off at them. You're not spitting on them. You're not hitting them. You just shake the dust off of your feet. And Jesus commanded his disciples to do this when they're arrested, when they're outcast, when the city rejects them and pushes them away, whether it's the authorities officially or whether it's the elders. When they're pushed away, this is when we undust our feet. And it's an easy thing to do to say, "The blood of Jesus is against you. God is going to get you. God is not happy with what you're doing.
Amen.
I undust my feet against you, and you will be shocked."
Spencer, get that video. I just sent you a video. Get that up real quick. Jeff Nell, come on in.
Yeah, talk about a warrior. I was from the school board meeting. I'm walking my dog at 9:30 at night. I passed these two young men. I said, "Have a good evening." And they say, "You're that preacher." blinkety blank blank blinkety blank blink blank blank. And I said, you have no authority here. I tell you, that's a badge of honor.
Amen. So listen, I was under the unction. Folks,
Davenport
listen.
City leaders are pleading for help tonight, saying they need information about that downtown play the
one
shooting
at the top.
That caused
Days
a
of
lot
Elijah.
Of damage.
Days of Elijah at the top there, Spence. I'm sorry to make it. Hey, folks, listen. We have people getting attacked in the queue. Everywhere you look, people are being attacked. It's literally happened. Rochelle hasn't been in here a couple of days. In the after show yesterday, her mom pops in there and says, hey, did you know Rochelle's husband had a heart attack? I said, what? Yeah, he had a heart attack. I called Rochelle yesterday. She filled me in on the whole thing and without getting into the real details. Yeah. Her husband ought to be dead. Her husband, Ricky ought to be dead, but he's not. And folks, I could go down through a litany of people who are under attack and under assault here, because why? The enemy is, he understands this prophetic unction that is upon us, the people that are in. See, I hate to make it sound like we're special, because we're not special. You are merely playing the role that God has called you to. And you look around and other people won't do it. I think about Ohio Brett and Ohio Brett, how hard he's pushing now. Hey, can I say it? He used to be a softy Christian. He used to be a love everybody softy Christian, right? And then a new anointing comes upon him. And this prophetic anointing, this thus saith the Lord anointing, folks, this thing is coming back, baby. This is coming back. And so as Sam was sharing there, that the song that we've probably all heard 1,000 times, these are the days of Elijah declaring the word of the Lord. I want you to play that real quick. This is where we are. Don't miss where we are, friends. The words are over on the side. Maybe you can do it at maybe time and a half speed, Spence, so we can get through a little quicker. Bear with me here a second. Man, hey, this is a record today. Sam talked more today than me. That has never happened in the history of my show. Go ahead.
Of Elijah declaring the word of the Lord, and these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored, and though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call.
fast. Go ahead and cut it off.
Yes, sirree. Yes, sirree. Huh? These are the days of Elijah, folks. What a time to be alive. Debbie Perkins, go ahead real quickly.
Okay, I'm going to tell you about that song. The author or the songwriter is Robin Mark. And he wrote that. He's from Ireland. And I know him personally because I sponsored him twice here in Lubbock. He came, he does a tour. He came to our church and he's an amazing man of God. But how he wrote that, he'll tell you the story, was he was sitting in his home and listening to like a New Year's Eve, you know how they roll years events and people who died and all that kind of stuff. And he sat there and he said he was just watching the TV and it came to him how bad the situation was in Ireland. And he lived through all the war there. And that's when These Are the Days of Elijah came to him. And that was what prompted him, was how bad things were in Ireland at the time. And that's what prompted him to write that song.
Amen. Amen.
And he is an amazing, amazing man. He has, if you've never listened to his praise songs, and he has a book, and I have it, but there's like a sword on the front of it. And it's how he says, we were brought here solely to praise God.
For such a time as this, Deb, I'm running out of time. Debbie, I'm sorry. Hey, listen, folks, there's no God like Jehovah. See, we don't understand that. There's no God like Jehovah. Satan ain't God. Satan ain't Jehovah. And those of us who are men and women of faith, we have to begin to declare that. We can't cower. We can't hide. What does the future hold for us? We're going to lose our head? I don't know. But if we do, we get a martyr's crown, right? There's no God like Jehovah. We're going over. We're not gone under. Come on, Sam. Wrap this up here.
This is why I wrote the book on this doctrine. This is why on YouTube I have the original 99 Bible verses of the day for gospel gunslingers. Listen, guys, David, when he was in exile, he lived by the sword. Bob Seger did not live by the sword. And that's a term that I discuss at very great length. I know that that'll make Christians skin crawl. David made his living by raiding. Well, guess what? During my 18 years as a watchman over the last great movements of God in the city of Tulsa and Broken Arrow, I discovered that I could hold my hands in the air where there were places that the judgment of God and the wrath of God was against, and the hailstones would come in and demolish it. And then I could go in and make some money fixing a tiny fraction of a percent of those repairs. And I lived that way for years. So this is why I have written the book on the use of force in the Bible. And I'd ask everybody to come look, gospelgunslingers.com. Investigate how we are supposed to react when Amalek comes to smite the hindermost, because God has a way for us to get out of it, and it doesn't matter what kind of warbird they've got to come get us. Well, God, Sam, is bigger.
We know this, Sam, that the Lord said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And you can trust this, friends. If the Lord sends you on an assignment, he ain't leaving you out there alone. He did not send you out on that assignment to lose. He didn't send you out on that assignment to get beat up. He didn't send you out on that assignment to be destroyed. He sent you out on that assignment to do what? To glorify the name of the Lord, to lift up the name of the Lord, to say, thus saith the Lord, to stand for and lift up and speak about righteousness, exalting a nation, and sin being a reproach to any people. What's the promise? You're going to be hated of all men. It tells you right there in Matthew. You're going to be hated of all men, right? Why? Because you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Why are we hiding it? Why are we hiding the truth? Why are we into tolerance and diversity? Why? Oh, my goodness. Jesus Christ is the most exclusive God there ever was. He said, I am the way. I'm the only way. I am the way, the truth, the life. Ain't nobody coming unless they go through my daddy. That is exclusive. Exclusivity, baby. That's where we are. And at these times, that is a message that the Lord is going to begin to anoint and going to carry the day. Sam, wrap it up here for us, brother.
We love you, Coach. Father, we just bless the coach in the name of Jesus. Father, we call him coach. We know that he's got a mighty, mighty call and that this is important, an important person in your kingdom. Father, help us to get beyond the place where we look at men. Help us to get beyond the place where we look at the army surrounding us, because, Father, you are so high above. You're so much greater. We come in the name of Jesus, like David. We say, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, whom you have defied. Amen. Listen, you troublemakers, repent now. It's not too late for you. You're among the living and you have hope. Even a live dog is better than a dead lion, the word of God says. Repent today. Come to the Lord Jesus. Join our number. We'll take you as proselytes. Come on in. Find grace at the feet of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. There's no God like Jehovah. God bless you, Sam. Thanks for that anointing here today, buddy. We'll see you all tomorrow.